I make a really big mess during my painting, and that's how I've always painted. And one thing in my life that I've really struggled with is because I can be such a tornado, and all of a sudden now it's the coolest thing and people like love it. And I'm like, this is so ironic. I would get in trouble for this before, and now the coolest thing. I'm like, you know, so it really is about the twist and embracing it.
Welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. We bring inspiring stories every week to get you out of the mode of thinking about doing something and into actually doing it. I search the world to find the most amazing people to bring their stories to you. This week's guest is Heidi Schwartz from Paint Your Event. She creates live paintings during events, and she is here to share her journey to creating something that is unique and genuine to her passion, interests, and talent. If you like this episode and know someone who needs to hear this message, do us a favor and share it. Episodes are always available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the podcast app, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also head to patreon.com/betweendreams to find out how you can get access to additional bonus content while helping to support the show. So let's get into it. Heidi Schwartz.
First off, thank you for having me and thank you for reaching out. I appreciate it. I'm a live event painter. I go to events and I paint on the spot what's going on. And by the end of the evening, start to finish, I do a painting. And by the end of the evening, they have an impressionistic version of their event. So it's kind of like performance art / memento, if you will. I kind of call it quiet performance art.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, I think that's what really drew me in of, it's a combination of, and that's a great way of describing it. It is this performance art, but it's almost happening. It's not like demanding of an audience's attention while it's happening, right. But then you still have this great product that mm-hmm. is a really cool thing and it's unique. I think it's interesting. This is a question for you. It seems like you wouldn't start off being an artist with the goal of saying, I'm going to paint live events. How did that actually, so there was, I would imagine there was a lot of layers of steps to arrive where you are now. How did that, I know that's a loaded question, how did this happen, but was there a bit of a progression of where you started and then realized that this was a really cool thing that people are actually going to really enjoy?
Yeah, it was quite a progression, actually. I never in a million years would have guessed I would have been doing this. If you would have told me I was would have been doing this for a living 10 years ago, I would have called you a liar and ran out. But I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I moved here for music. So I actually started out with music, doing singer-songwriter stuff, and I've just always painted, and it was not anything I was trying to do or take seriously. I just like to paint a lot and I would just do it a lot. And I had no agenda with painting. And so it was very free for me. And I started songwriting and then incorporating some of my art with my songs. And to make a long story short, out of that, I made a record where every song had a painting. Mm. And out of survival mode, I was trying to get a job singing on this boat called the General Jackson here in Nashville. It's with Opryland Hotel. I was like going to do like the whole jazz hands thing, you know, like dun, 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 dun. And the entertainment manager saw my paintings because of, I was trying to do singing, and the entertainment manager of the hotel. And he asked me to paint live at a dinner. And, I was like, well, I spend hours on my paintings, and if you think your 5-year-old can do better, you can just never call me again. So I didn't really think anything of it, and I did it, and it went well, but I was like, okay, cool. And then I got another call, like, I don't know, 6 months later. It was something very delayed, and this was in 2008, and I was like, ah, whatever. And then I got another call, and it was a very slow progression / even convincing of myself that this was the path for me, because I had such a very strong push towards another thing, another art form. I mean, I always knew I wanted to be a creative, but I had a very much a clear set. I was like, I'm doing music. This is what I'm doing. And it was funny when anyone would call me like an artist, I'd be like, no, I'm a musician. And I would get really mad about it. So it took some convincing, I think more of my ego than anything to kind of go, which is really ironic, but that like, this is the path for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in there I think that hit me personally, even as you were saying that, of we have these, well, I have these things of these expectations of what I want to happen.
Sure.
And in so many times, I know it's, again, for me personally, it's been such a challenge of, I can see it happening of like, oh, well, I set out to do this or to be this type of performer or something, and then it's just getting in my own way because it's like I don't want to abandon. Like a few years ago I said I want to do this, and then if it's like if there's something else, I'm like, oh, but I don't want to give up on, I don't want it to appear to myself and others that I'm giving up on my you know, quote, dream.
Yeah.
And how great it is though that if you're willing to be open to these other branches on this tree and go explore them, that by accident so many times there's what will actually work and be the thing that pays off and what people really you know, connect with is so many times an accident, and it's just because you're willing to get out there and try something and do what you actually enjoy. So that's, I think, really, really awesome and really important for people listening, that sometimes there's a little tiny directional change that you can take. And if you're willing to go there, it's going to pay off so, so big.
There's a Joseph Campbell quote. It says, we must be willing to get rid of the life we've planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. And I think
perfect. Yes. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. No, it's big though. It's really big.
Yeah, I've talked about it before. Mike Rowe, I don't know if you saw Mike Rowe's TED Talk. It's probably from 10 years ago, and I've talked about it before, but for new people listening, it's the same thing. The overall general thing of it was this pig farmer that was not quite working out as well as he wanted his pig farm to go, and he had this big problem of the pig waste was becoming a major problem. He didn't have a way to dispose of the pig waste, and then he realized that he could make these little like flower pots out of the waste where people could plant the things and then just use that as fertilizer and plant the actual pot in the ground. And that became the biggest thing of his career, and it was like this problem that he had in his job became the solution to all of his problems, and now that was the thing. He was the thing that was actually hugely successful was creating these pots. And it was because he was willing to see a challenge and take that little bit of a slight direction. And I think that's amazing. So you've been able to travel to different types of events all over the place. Is there one standout amazing moment or event or something that has happened that you, a brag-worthy moment that would have never happened if you wouldn't have taken this step to create what you're creating?
Yeah, there's many. I don't even know if I should bring it up, but it's probably the biggest event I'm going to be doing, and it's coming up next month, so I'm excited about it. So yeah, cool. I've been able to go to Australia and, you know, Mexico and, you know, just different places. You know, Australia is far away, and I don't know, and meet really amazing people. I'm in these events that are the craziest things in the world. Like I was at this event. I was at this bar mitzvah. And it's funny. You would go, oh yeah, bar mitzvah. But it was at the Barclay Center in Brooklyn, and they rented out the Barclay Center for this bar mitzvah. And this little boy literally like, well, first off, I'm in this room where they brought in roller coasters. it was just the most crazy, like extreme. If you can imagine, it was probably there. And then they had like the boy, like his big entrance was he came in off the ceiling, like flying in from the ceiling. And then, the mother son dance was Aaron Neville singing. And then at the end, Pitbull came out. I was just like, what? And And I'm like painting it. And I'm like, right. I'm actually the really side. Like, you know, a lot of times I'm like kind of a standout thing if I'm at a wedding or whatever. Like, oh, I mean, this, I was like, I am just a microscopic accent over here. I mean, it was so insane. So, yeah, I mean, I think to go and I to see just quite a range of walks of life. And I've also painted some of the most simple events, and it's just a, you know, it's an anniversary, or it's, you know, a really simple, beautiful wedding. They just want something to just like hold for, you know, as a memento. And I love that too. I love the extremes. Yeah. But I mean, I've painted a boxing match, and I was like, what? I don't know. I end up in some of these situations, and I'm like, I never in my life, if I was just going down what I thought I was going to be, would I end up here and in this weird situation doing this really weird thing? And the whole thing is hilarious, but I mean, it is such a testament to being open to, what comes your way. And then if there's a natural flow to it, and, I make a really big mess during my painting, and that's how I've always painted. And one thing in my life that I've really struggled with is because I can be such a tornado, and all of a sudden now it's the coolest thing and people like love it. And I'm like, this is so ironic. I would get in trouble for this before. And now the coolest thing, I'm like, you know, so it really is about the twist and embracing. And I think trying to find a creative career, or a career that fits you like a glove, because it really is like kind of digging inside of yourself, not really looking outside. If you're going to find something really original, but like, and then finding where it can meet a need, and it's, yes, it's you and it fits you like a glove, but also it's giving to other people, and like to get into the mentality of it's a service and it's for other people. I think it kind of creates this breathing room of, it kind of like letting go of your ego, and then just like, I'm here to serve. And then I'm going to give everything that I have in the weirdest way that I have to give, because that's what I got, and I'm going to go for it. And you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oh, that connects so well with me for sure. And I know a lot of the people, and there was a couple things you said in there, embracing this thing that what fits you and what you do, but then also letting go of your ego, and you are there to serve this function of what you're doing. And I know, because almost all my friends who are in a creative lifestyle have this challenge of, they have this idea of what they want to do, and they're so stubborn in it that they're like, well, no, I'm not going to go, you know, it, and this could be something of, you know, if a DJ or something, say, they say, well, I want to play this type of music and I want to play this. Yeah. And I'm like, well, sure, that's great if you're sitting home by yourself and DJing to yourself, but that's not what your job is. Your job is to play music that maybe you don't love, like maybe it's not the exact what you would do for yourself, but if it's working for this audience, then it's like you still get to DJ and play the music that you want, but you are still playing for other people. It's same as what I do with my juggling show. There's certain things that I maybe wouldn't juggle for myself, but that I know works for audiences, so that's what I do.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think a lot of artists and creative people are missing, that it's we're doing this, surely we're doing this out of selfish reasons, because we love doing this and we get something out of it. But the other side of it is, if it's your job, you are doing it really for other people. And that's important. So going back to, that was I love the story of the Barclays Center of just like going and imagining, like, when you see what for some of us just isn't reality, and you're just like, oh wow, that's I love that image of too, also that somebody, they were like, can we have a roller coaster in there? And somebody was like, well, yeah, I guess. Like, there's probably that moment of like, we've never probably done this before, but I don't see why not. And those moments are amazing, of where you just see where anything is possible. But I also want to kick back into some of the maybe back to more of reality for most of the people listening. And there's challenges that happen with anything that we're doing. There's challenges that come up, and there's challenges. And I know you talked a little bit about that, of kind of getting to where you are. But have there been any other challenges or struggles or roadblocks or hurdles that you had to kind of just use a positive mindset and get over, whether that was a challenge within your own mind or something like at an event that didn't go as expected or as planned? I think that's interesting because this Instagram world that we live in shows all the awesome things that everyone is doing. And then it's interesting to me almost in more fascinating way to see what people are, these things that to overcome.
Yeah, there's a lot there. Challenges. I think I've spent all of my 20s battling myself with my, creative brain and going, all right, I'm built like this. This is where my strengths are. I'm going to have to figure something out. And I mean, at one point, the music business was so hard, and it just felt like I was going uphill. And I use the metaphor a lot of, I think there has to be a certain flow with what you do, and you kind of know. I mean, there is a certain kind of battle. You have to have tenacity. I think that's one of the biggest strengths or one of the biggest attributes you need in order to create a creative career. But I also think there has to be a certain kind of flow that feels so natural. And I think even though I was talented in music and good at it, there wasn't this feeling of home that I feel like with painting. And even when things are crazy, the actual act of the painting part feels safe. Even though I may not know what I'm doing, and it is a wild beast, and sometimes some of the paintings I like better than others, and that's totally fine. And there's a surrender in that. But while I was struggling to get to that place, like I said before, I really battled with, because I had the preconceived notion of that I was going to be doing music and this is what I was, my purpose and all of that. And then after kind of letting that go, I was like, all right, am I going to be a firefighter? I mean, do I need to be an astronaut? I always felt like a 5-year-old, asking these questions, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And I was really, and I had kind of this, I'd done a couple of live paintings and I was like, whatever, that's kind of hokey. And I didn't really take it seriously. And I was like, but then once I kind of surrendered into, I was like, well, I mean, I was seriously looking, I was like, do I want to be a yoga teacher? Do I want to go do hair? I knew I was creative and I knew I had to do something creative. That was kind of my requirement. And once I kind of surrendered, what the preconceived notion was, I was like, you know what? I have this thing over here and they get excited about it. And okay, why don't I try it and see? And then I did. And it was the fastest growing thing. And I had never felt a kind of flow in that way where I knew it, or it felt very, it was a lot of work. I mean, I had to do things I didn't want to do. I had to do business stuff I didn't want to do. I had to, deal with people that were like, what are you doing? I don't understand. And there was a lot of education in, because it isn't something that's super common. So it was a lot of just demonstrating as opposed to talking about it. But once I had built a portfolio and kind of built things and step by step, and it was a lot of, it's taken a lot of work to build it. But, once I got to that point, but it still felt this flow and it still felt very natural. So, and the reactions when I did get it, when I did get the gigs and when they did start coming along, it was just like, it's like butter, it was ease. And I,
yeah.
So, the doubt, I always recommend for any creative, and I'm sure you've read this book. Have you read The Artist Way? No.
I feel like I did not.
Oh, gosh. Okay. It's this book by Julia Cameron, and she was married to Martin Scorsese, who's this director. And, the director. Anyway, it's about, basically, it's a book about unlocking blocks. And it's such a good book for creatives. I always recommend it for anyone who has self-doubt and just to kind of listen to that internal voice and what's going to work for you, because Everyone's got a bazillion opinions. I feel like I just totally jumped all over in that answer. I'm sorry.
No, that was great. That's what we're here for, to discover thoughts and explore ideas. And I think that kind of answered the question of, I think my actual question was, these challenges. And that is something, and it was exactly what I wanted to explore in there, because, again, people see the people that they're looking up to on Instagram, on Facebook, doing all these amazing things. But what they don't see is the 10 years that led up to this moment.
Yeah.
And the doubts, as you said, the doubts that went through that, it looks like, oh, they just had this idea and it was a great idea. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works. Like,
not at all. I get that a lot. They're like, you just show up and paint. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's how it happens.
Yeah.
No.
Not yeah, so that's what is, oh, it's so crazy because I've had so many people just, and that of like, you don't know, there was something also interesting in there where you had this moment, you're like, what do I do? Do I go do this type of work? Do I do this type of work? And it seems so easy looking back when something works, but it's so
obvious, but not.
Yeah. But it's so important for people, because I know how many people, including myself, most some days, of just feeling lost of like, okay, everyone's telling me I'm doing great work or some people are telling me I'm doing great work. And it seems like it's, people are saying, oh, I'm proud of all the stuff you've accomplished. But then some days I'm like, but I didn't quite figure this out yet. And I'm just trying to figure out what the next step is or something or whatever it is. And there's something in that of trying new things and then seeing what connects with an audience and then what works. And then in 5 or 10 years, everyone's going to say, oh, that's so amazing that you just started to do this. And then it all pays off. So right. I think it all comes full circle. Mm. And that's great stuff, and we'll link over to that book, The Artist's Way. I feel like I do know it, but I know I don't have it. Maybe somebody else was talking to me about it.
It's just a really it's a great book, and kind of just it's a 12-step program to unlocking a creative block. But I think just the philosophy in it is just so good, because it's just kind of dropping the ego, and I think the perfectionism that I think a lot of creatives tend to have, because the idea, when we have ideas crystallize in our brain and then actually, manifesting them or putting them into the world, they're always going to look different than what they are in your head. And so kind of there's an acceptance, but also sometimes that when it comes actually out, to play with that and see what it really looks like. And then that's where the kind of the ugly duckling can kind of twist in ways that you didn't expect. And that's kind of, I feel like it's the magic of it. And when you're surprised too, and it kind of evolves. And I don't know. I think at this point now, for me, that's the stuff that makes me excited, because I'm like, oh, I didn't see that, but I feel like I'm tapped into something bigger I try to focus on that. And then I try to focus on the service element. Like, I'm doing this for other people. I want to give something and make something beautiful that is of value for other people, and it really helps if you can put your mind in that kind of mindset. And you're like, do I enjoy this? Am I enjoying the process? Am I enjoying the minutes that go by while I'm creating this? And if you can say yes to those things, I think you're winning,
Yeah. So with all that you've kind of built this and created, where do you see, I don't like this idea of what's the ultimate goal, because I don't think we have ultimate goals, is because these things change. And as we said, they change and we've discovered new things. But where are you going, say, in 5 to 10 years? Where would you, what new types of things would you like to explore or create? Or do you have some goals that you're trying to push towards?
A big lesson is definitely like what you said. I have things I throw out there now at this point. I kind of am like, that would be cool. And I just kind of you know, I sometimes break down in journal and things like that, and just kind of, this would be interesting, this is of interest to me, and you just kind of see what really sticks. But I mean, internationally, like getting to travel more internationally is really exciting to me, and to, you know, I mean, this world is a beautiful, big, bad place. And so there's lots to see. And I think the travel aspect and being able to do and create paintings off of the most interesting, weird things that I never in a million years would think I would be interpreting via paint. That's so intriguing to me. So to continue that, I think in the farthest stretches of the earth, I'm excited about, to keep developing as an artist and challenge myself with ideas and concepts in the studio as well. You know, and then there's another piece out of all of this, and I'm like, I get to work with nonprofits right now, and I get to, you know, help some fundraising and auction off the painting and that kind of thing. And, well, I don't know how this is going to look, but I have a thing in my head where somehow I want to help do something with kids where I can give back in a way where, whether it's, you know, kids that are struggling in homes and they need some kind of creative outlet, or I don't know what that's going to look like, whether I start a nonprofit or whether I'm just, and a help and with something else that's going on and I just help them make money. But I don't know. I think, you know, even what you're doing, I mean, just educating people on there are other ways to do things and it's okay. And then embracing the process and kind of just educating. I think, I mean, I'm sure when you were a kid, like things like this would have made like the world of difference to you, you know? I mean, I know it would have been me. So like,
yeah.
You know, the world is a big place, and I think, I don't know. I think I try to think on giving back, enjoying the process, creating beautiful things. Like it gets me really excited, creating things that are interesting and have a twist on it and make you think, and really inspire. I mean, those are the general goals. And then, you know, I have things like I would like to paint in Paris at a fashion show, and I would like to, you know, I mean, I can like, and I think it's really good to throw out those crystallized goals and then see what happens around it. But it's really more the general concepts. So yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And that's like we were talking about earlier, have this idea, this goal that you're pushing towards, and then something else that is oftentimes better and cooler than what your initial goal was actually happens. And you're like, oh, wow, I'm glad I tried to do this other thing, but I'm glad that didn't work out.
Yeah. And that is really like the teacher and that, like the letting go. And I mean, this all sounds like such, sometimes it can sound like a bunch of hot air, but it's so true. Like if you do let go and if you are open, especially with creative things, like 9 times out of 10, it's going to be bigger and better than you could have ever imagined. And then I think that's when you realize like, oh, I really am an artist. Cause I think that's when you're, I think artists are channels, you know, and that's when you're tapped into something bigger and better than what you could have a concept. Then you're like, I am the channel and I'm a servant and that's what I'm here to do. And that's the point.
Yeah, that's great. That could be a whole nother podcast episode of that. But I think we have a great lesson here to finish up. And I know the whole episode was, this keeps happening. The whole episode is a nice tight wrap up of exactly what we need to share with the listeners. But do you have a nice little package to deliver the people who are listening here to finish up if they're listening and they want to be doing something awesome, and maybe they're in a moment where they're stuck in that moment of saying, maybe I should be a hairstylist, or maybe I should be a painter, or maybe I should, and they have 15 different things that they keep writing about in their journal and just not sure how to start moving. What's a little nice package to leave them with?
I think the first thing would be ask yourself, where do you feel the most at home? What's the thing that makes you feel the most centered and the most connected? Where's the place that you feel safe? No matter what's going on, what's crazy, no matter if people are around or not, like, where do you go to? Is it your guitar? Is it your camera? Is it the paintbrush? And whatever that is, regardless of agenda or not, if you go to that, I think that's a clue. And then I think, beyond that, looking at ways where that could actually be you have to think outside of yourself. So like, obviously first you have to think of yourself and you think about what is my passion. But I think your passion is different than what people think, like it's on fire. I think it's actually more calm. And, so it's like where you fit, where it feels almost peaceful in a way. So I'd start there and then I would go to how can I make this of service and how can I make this for something else, for somebody else. And if you can combine the two, I think those are two big steps that can help you on your way.
It's perfect. That's the ultimate thing. Figure out merging those two things together and you have the ultimate artistic and creative life. So that's all that I have. Is there anything else you would like? So I wanted to have people, if they want to see more of what you're doing, you can they can see your stuff at paintyourevent.com and also on Instagram, which is your name is Paint Your Event at there as well. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the people listening or ways they can find out more about you?
Where I have some studio stuff, which is just my name, Heidi Schwartz. So, I mean, if you just Google Paint Your Event or Heidi Schwartz, I mean, it'll all come up. But yeah, I try to document every event that I do and kind of the process of it. So on my Instagram account, that's how you can find me. And if whatever, comment, email, questions, whatever, I'm open. So yeah, that's it.
Great.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This has been great.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode with Heidi, share it with a friend. And if you want to help support the show, head to patreon.com/betweendreams to find out how you can get even more bonus content. My name is Chris Ruggiero. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.